Hi everyone. We're doing the show now in the hope, one, that my voice will hold on. fingers crossed. And two, because there's actually been some bike racing to talk about, which after about 25 sort of false season ends, we've even had the start of the six-day season. We're back on the road at the weekend for the Saitama Criterium in Japan. And the reason why it's noteworthy is that it saw the return to winning ways of Mark Cavendish, who beat the local favourite, Femi Yeku Beppu, in a sprint after what was a pretty exciting and phenomenal race, to be honest. It's a strange event in many ways, as it kind of, you know, popularises the Tour de France. And, you know, Chris Froome rode in his yellow jersey, Warren Barguil rode in the polka dot jersey, and so on. So the jerseys were, bizarrely, riders who last wore this particular garment in July were back in their leaders' jerseys, or winners' jerseys, of course, for this criterium. And it was Barguil and Froome late on who were away in a two-up break on a course that didn't look super duper inspiring, if super duper inspiring is actually a phrase that we can use. It was good. It was an exciting race on an exciting looking day, or an exciting looking crowd. But what wasn't particularly good. Was the fact that they were riding under some sort of massive underpass system at one point, which seemed bizarre. I seem to remember last year they kind of rode through some sort of bizarre hallway thing. Was that the one where they rode through the? Yeah, maybe. Anyway, so yeah, that was particularly exciting. Barguil though just had better legs, and he dropped Froome on the last lap. And even sort of like 1 kilometre to go, it looked like he might just about hang on, but his form faded, and his last appearance for Giant Sunweb ended in a defeat, with the sprinters coming round and Cavendish winning. There was some domestic Japanese pros as well in the mix in the top 10. You probably will have seen on social media some of the terrible, terrible, terrible photographs of Tour de France riders dressed in traditional Japanese costumes. Yeah, that was, you know, that's not great, is it? Doesn't look good. Yeah, but that was it, and it was a really, really entertaining race. And whether you can have the debate that with the pressure being off, the quality of the racing was better because people had a lot less to lose. There was, you know, a lot more risk. You know, you wouldn't see in any normal bike race Warren Barguil and Chris Froome off the front on a city centre circuit trying to, you know, defy dimension data. But, you know, I'm glad they did, because it was really, really good to watch. It was a great way to start a cold and rainy Saturday morning. And, you know, in a way, a fitting end to the season, which now we are, you know, desperately dragging at embers, but it's done, isn't it? And what a season it has been. Now, we participated at the start of the year on the podcast. We put an entry in the Bike Radar forum, my men competition, and we had a couple of clunkers in there. Sepp van Marck didn't particularly have a great season. His Tour of Flanders attempt ended in a gap between two bits of concrete road on the way to the Paterberg from the old Quaremont. I bore that in mind when I was riding there the other week. I was thinking I don't want to fall down the same hole as Sepp. And Jürgen Rolantz, despite being in the breakaway in Paris-Roubaix, didn't have a great season, even though, you know, maybe with him moving to BMC, he'll be reinvigorated and we'll love him even more as a result of that. But yeah, they were the two disappointing ones. We did very well with, like, Bob Jungels, who wore the pink jersey at the Giro, Julian Alaphilippe, who was there or thereabouts in quite a lot of the big classics. So yeah, we will post an update on the website of some of the key results that our guys managed to achieve during the season. If you go onto fendrian.eu now and kind of scroll back through the archive, you can see those riders' names Adam Yates was borderline clunker for us. Didn't really deliver what we were hoping. But yeah, we got some riders who got some Grand Tour stage wins and some good classics positions. So yay, go us. We'll be happy with that. So yeah, we'll probably do that again next year. Maybe even take suggestions on who we should include in our team. If you've got any suggestions, then tweet us or Facebook us or something, and we'll make sure that we include them in the group. The other big cycling news of the week, and it's been a slow week if that's the case, has been a couple of kit reveals for next season. Dimension Data have revealed a kit that is not too dissimilar to the kit that they've had this year. They're still going with the green, white and black three coloured effect, which is which looks really, really nice. We're big fans of it. The main difference that I could see was that the Cervelo logo on the shoulder has now been replaced by the word Cervelo down the whole arm. Looks great, nothing wrong with that. The actual kind of different colour differentiations now are like a chevron, so it looks a bit like a rugby league shirt, which is good because we love rugby league in our house. The other new kit was the Education First Cannondale. Now, I say kit because they revealed two. What is it now with teams having to have a kit and a training kit? We need to get on that. Maximise revenue streams, or whatever they call it. Education First Cannondale Drapac revealed their kit at the Ruler Classic event. Nicely done. They have an orange and white and green training kit, which is nowhere near as honking as it sounds. The actual race kit follows the corporate colours of Education First. The orange, white and green, I assume, is what green's Cannondale. I'm assuming the orange is maybe with reference to POC. They put some statements out about how the kit's got greater visibility and this kind of stuff. And then the actual race kit is pink, white and green, which is more or less as honking as it sounds. It's a pink top, a white middle and green sort of accents, I think they call them in the cycling trade. Very difficult to make a bad kit really to go on a Cannondale, but they're kind of half there. The only other big Pro Tour, World Tour team that has slipped there, 5 years ago they'd have been Pro Tour, World Tour team to reveal their kit so far that we have seen doing the various rounds on the net is Movistar. That was quite some time ago when they launched their women's team, and they have gone all Astana with a really sky blue plain kind of jersey and black shorts. It will be interesting to see some of the other kits as they come out, and we'll be sure to have a chat about some of them, even though for copyright reasons, obviously, we probably can't just nick photos and put them on our website, although, maybe try. That's probably about it for this week then. We've got through show number 82 without any further woe. It's been great to have your company. Please do follow us online. Facebook, search Fendrien. That's Fendrien. It's a play on words with Flandrian. And same with Twitter, FendrienEU. And the website address is http://fendrien.eu. Have a look on there. We will have news of probably the biggest kit reveal of the year that's going to be ours, hopefully fairly soon. So stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, take care and have a good week in the frost. Ciao for now.